Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities. Small Town Podcast is supported by Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company. Consolidated Pipe is a full-line supplier of products for the water, wastewater, and natural gas industries, and they serve utilities and public works departments in cities, large and small, every day. They're the exclusive distributor of MasterMeter AMI-AMR technology. As a family-owned company with a legacy that began in 1960, let Consolidated Pipe show you that they are dedicated to service.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal. And thanks for joining me for another episode of Small Town Podcast. Now, this is our second of a five-episode series featuring small towns in the state of Louisiana. The series is sponsored by the Louisiana Municipal Association, so I thought I'd start each episode by getting just a little background on the different parts of the state I'm traveling to and about the small town that I'll be visiting. My new friend from the Louisiana Municipal Association was able to help me out.
Hello, I'm John Gallagher, the Executive Director of the Louisiana Municipal Association.
So, John, I'm going to the town of Kaplan. Actually, it might be a city, and I'm in the Acadiana region. So tell me a little bit about that region and about Kaplan.
Sure, yes. Acadiana is it's known, it's world-famous, the Cajun area.
Okay, Cajun country.
It's Cajun country, known for the jambalaya and good duck hunting, and just Kaplan is really the gateway to the wetlands. You know, Louisiana, when you're south of I-10, it starts getting, you hear about the swamps and things like that. And that's where you start getting into a lot of the coastal areas, getting close to the Gulf of Mexico. And it's a home of, it's got a rich French heritage, French culture. It's the only, in Vermilion Parish, I think it's the only Mardi Gras parade in Vermilion Parish. And it's also has a rich, good music heritage. Sammy Kershaw, who's a well-known Zydeco musician, is from Kaplan. And it's a lot of rice is grown in the area, sugar cane in the area. When you drive through, you'll probably notice a lot of that this time of year, some rice and the sugar cane. So it's agricultural, and it's another economic engine for this area of Vermilion Parish.
All right. Can't wait to go. So, small towners, today we visit a small town in Cajun country where they are always having a good time. And we visit a mayor who had never heard of this place when he was growing up, but couldn't imagine living anywhere else now. We're going to go talk with Mayor Mike Klasel in the small town of Kaplan, Louisiana. Come go with me.
Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. Soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. But life is a journey, and I ended up in Ocilla, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got two traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a third anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Ocilla made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Ocilla, Georgia.
Small Town Podcast is sponsored by Koch Industries. Just like the great small towns we feature on Small Town Podcast, every great company has a story. From its humble beginnings starting out in Middle America in the 1960s, Koch Industries has become one of the largest privately held companies in the nation and has achieved an international presence in 50 countries around the globe. The companies of Koch Industries create innovations in transportation, medical care, water filtration, building materials, household goods, and so many other products and technologies that impact our lives every day. You can see more of the Koch story, both where they've come from and where they're going, by visiting kochind.com/podcast.
All right, so I find myself now actually on the second floor of the City Hall in the town of Kaplan, in the office of the mayor of Kaplan, and we're sitting at his, you got a nice office here, Mayor, but I'm joined by Mayor Mike Klaisel. So Mayor Klaisel, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Thank you so much for being here, Mayor. I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you. I want to get to know you a little bit and ask you the same question I ask all my guests at first. Were you born in Kaplan, Louisiana?
I was not.
Were you born?
I was born in South Texas, Victoria, Texas. You never know where you're going to end up in this world.
That's right. I always say life is a journey. I wasn't born in Ocilla. I'd never heard of Ocilla when I was growing up.
Likewise, I've never heard of Kaplan.
You lived there all your life in Victoria, or all your child life, I guess I say?
All of my childhood was spent in Victoria.
You graduated
as a young adult, and lived 17 years in Houston before moving to Kaplan.
But you graduated in Victoria or nearby?
I did graduate from Victoria.
So what did you do right after graduating high school?
After graduating high school, I went to work. I was in the restaurant business for a number of years.
And that was in Houston mostly?
No, actually.
I knew there was more to it. You jumped right to Houston. There's more to your story.
There was a lot more to it. I started my own business doing inventory control audits in 1984.
Okay.
That led me from Victoria to Houston as my little company expanded. We expanded into Houston. From Houston, we expanded into Louisiana.
Now, I'll confess, I couldn't find Victoria, Texas on a map. So tell me how far that is in
which direction. It's about 125 miles southwest of Houston.
Okay. All right.
So I still have family there.
All right, so you started your business, inventory control in Victoria, expanded that into Houston, 125 miles away, and then that business further expanded across state lines into Louisiana.
That's correct.
Okay. Is that kind of how you found yourself in Kaplan? Because I don't know. I'm trying to think. I know where we are. I can find Kaplan on a map now, but I'm trying to think how far we are from Houston or even from the Texas state line.
Well, as I was expanding my business, I always stayed. There was one hotel in Lafayette that I stayed at.
Okay.
It's the Hojo Hotel. It's not there anymore.
Howard Johnson.
It's not there anymore, but I got to be good friends with the owner of that hotel.
Uh-huh.
They actually had three or four owners, but one of them was from Kaplan.
Okay.
He and I became really good friends. Even though I was growing my business, I also had a hobby. My hobby was candle making. That was the way I relaxed. I love to make candles.
Okay.
Still do. My wife and I made candles, and I would bring my candles with me throughout my travels.
When you were on business trips and things?
Yeah, throughout my travels, and give them away.
Okay.
I gave candles away to just about everybody I ran in contact with.
Huh.
One of the guys that owned the hotel was from Kaplan, and he told me one day, he said, Mike, he says, I take these candles that you give me. I give them to my wife. He says, and she tells me they're some of the best candles that she ever had. He says, we should start making these candles and sell them. And I just laughed. I said, Jack, I love to make candles, but I already have a job.
Yeah, you already had a thriving business across two states, and this was just a hobby.
I said, I'm really fine with it. He said, no. He says, look, he says, we have this old building in Kaplan. He says, not being used for anything. He says, we could all, three or four of us, put in a couple $1,000s and we get this thing going. We can hire somebody. You don't have to do anything. Just show them how to make candles. It can't be that hard. And for about 2 years, I laughed that off. He'd bring it up every time I saw him. I'd laugh it off. Finally, one day, maybe after too many Bud Lights, I'm not sure, but one day, he brought it up again. And I said, okay, let's do it. So we did. We got together.
Between wearing you down for saying it for 2 years and a few Bud Lights.
He did. He literally wore me down. So there was five of us, and we each put $5,000 up.
Okay.
We remodeled this little building in Kaplan, and we started making some candles. And we were doing fairly well. I would come on the weekends, and the business was growing. Well, we came in one day. The lady that was running it for us wasn't there anymore. The key was in the door. We did an inventory. And to make a long story short, we all had to put more money in into the business to keep it going. But this time, what we did was my wife, who was actually a secretary in Houston for a firm, was able to take a little bit of a leave.
Okay.
And she said, I will go to Kaplan, help you, and get you all set up.
Because you're still living in Houston at this time.
Yeah, we're still living in Houston. Yeah. She said, I'll get it all set up. After 6 months, though, I'm coming back to Houston because I want to keep my job where I'm at.
Limited absence of leave, not open-ended.
Limited. She could take that much time off from work where she was and come to Kaplan, get us all set up because I wasn't able to be
on you were still site. Traveling. You still had your inventory business, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was gone. So she came.
You had to keep that business going to put the extra money into the candle business.
Exactly. Exactly. So we all put, I believe this time we actually upped it. I believe everybody put 10 this time because we were gonna really go at it. So she came and she did. She got it very organized and everything. And part of the agreement, she told me several times, part of the agreement was that she would come. She would only stay here 6 months, and she was going back to Houston.
Right.
She was, you know, she was either raised in Dallas and lived in Houston. Mm-hmm. So she's used to big cities. She's used to having access. So we all agreed. All of the owners agreed. She'd come here 6 months, get it set up, mm-hmm. train somebody, and go. So I would come to Kaplan on the weekends, and we would spend time, and after a couple of weeks, she told me, she said, you know, I really like it here. She said, when I go to the bank, they already know me by my name. When I go to the grocery store, they know me by name. I don't have to show any ID at the bank anymore. It's really great. That was the last I ever heard of anything about 6 months and going back. She never mentioned going back home again. So. Towards the end of 1999, we moved here completely. My daughter moved here right after graduation. We waited in Houston until my daughter graduated.
Sure.
My daughter graduated. She moved here. She graduated from UL. She's a school teacher in ERAF now. So it's home now.
So you moved your business, your inventory control business, from Houston?
Or? I actually sold it in 2002. I kept it in... rented out of Kaplan here until 2002 and sold it when the candle business got big enough to sell it.
When you stopped having to put in $5,000 and $10,000
a piece. Exactly. When it was able to, it was 2002 that my wife and I bought our partners out.
Okay.
And so we own it solely now.
So you had a big business. Multi-state business based out of Houston. You traveled a lot.
Right.
Got to know some people who owned a Hojo, a Howard Johnson in Lafayette, Louisiana. After 2 years of wearing you down and some Bud Lights, they convinced you to start a candle business in Kaplan because he was from Kaplan, or he just was familiar with the area? Because
he actually wasn't from Kaplan.
Oh, he wasn't from...
He lived here. I guess he wanted me. He wanted somebody else that wasn't from Kaplan here because...
Okay.
That's one thing about this small town, and I'm sure you know, too. If you're not from there, you're never from there. but the people everyone has been really wonderful to us here, since we've been here.
That's a good story of how you got from, because now, you know, there's a lot of people I interview there, a mayor or a council member, born and raised, went to college, came back, or even never left a day in their life.
Right.
15 generations back is all there. But there's stories like mine and like yours. And where I was growing up, I'd never heard of the town that I'm now the mayor of, or, you know, whatever the position.
Right.
All right. So made it home. How did you get involved in local government? Because as you just said, and I believe it, but I'm a victim of it too. If you're not from there, you're kind of not from there. You know, you can call it home, and you can feel a sense of home, and they can know your name at the bank and the grocery store, but you may be a little bit of an outsider, or at least it takes a lot longer to kind of become a local.
It really does. Fortunately, the guy that brought me here was really a pillar of the community.
Okay.
And a very respected member of the community. So he got me involved in every organization that you have in Kaplan, from Chamber of Commerce to the Rotary Club. Everything that you can get involved in, he drugged me into
it and
said, you're going to participate.
Pretty quickly got you involved. That's yes. good about small towns are good about that is you come in, if you say, okay, I live here now, okay, well, let's get you involved. And
Exactly. So we did that and just really got involved in the community. About 9 years ago, we started a 5K in Kaplan. That was one of the first projects I did on the Chamber of Commerce board.
Okay.
I took that on, and we started a 5K. It's one of the biggest 5Ks in the area every year.
Yeah.
It's the first weekend in October. It's Boogie on the Boulevard.
Boogie on the Boulevard.
If you want to run it, everybody gets a finisher's medal. It's a nice T-shirt. It's music. It's a festive occasion.
I was about to say, it's not just a 5K. You can't call something Boogie on the Boulevard and not have some music and dancing, right?
Oh, you're absolutely
right. Okay,
You almost can't have anything in Kaplan without having Boogie.
Okay.
And music, and you've got to. So
I was about to say, I might be willing
music
to
is big in
run the
this
5K
area.
Just to get the T-shirt that says Boogie on the Boulevard.
That's right.
Well, so now, do you still have the candle company?
We do.
Okay.
We actually switched gears in 2002 when my wife and I bought the company from...
Right, bought out the partners.
From the other investors. Mm-hmm. We switched gears, and we switched from strictly making candles to selling candle and soap making supplies to people all over the world, actually.
So people want to make it as a hobby like you did.
People want to make it as a hobby like I did. And it took us about 2 years to figure it out, but we figured out that we would rather sell you about a $90 to $100 worth of candle making supplies than sell you a $10 candle. So, and you go make it yourself. So really we have.
Shrewd businessman, you.
We've been fortunate that we have our candle making supplies from Louisiana. We've sold all over Europe.
Wow.
Really
built
Japan,
this thing out.
We have sent, there's hardly any place that we haven't sent supplies to.
So you went from a multi-state inventory control business that started based in Houston, and now you've got an international, a global candle making supply company.
It is. We are, knock on wood, fortunately, one of the larger candle and soap making supplies companies in the United States.
So
we're basing that all out of Kaplan in a small warehouse, out of a small warehouse.
I kind of already know the answer to this question, but I can't help to ask it anyway. Did you ever, in your wildest dreams or imagination, think that when a guy from Hojo was telling you, hey, you're really good at making candles, let's start a candle company in Kaplan, Louisiana, that it would turn into what it's turned into?
Oh, no. You never, you just have to follow what I feel is God's will. You have to follow where He wants you to be at that time, and everything else just kind of falls into place, I believe. When I look back at where I thought I wanted my life to go, it was nowhere where I'm at now, but I couldn't be happier.
And your wife, who thought she was a big city girl, ended up a small town girl, huh?
And loves it.
Yeah.
Love
so no regrets about saying, because like you said, she was pretty adamant, it sounds like, about that 6 month time frame. Oh, I gotta
She was very adamant about it at first, but she loves it here. She loves the people. And of course, like I say, I have a daughter. My son works in the oil field, so he's not really living in the area, but my daughter is. My grandchildren are here. We have some grandchildren in Dallas, but they call this their Louisiana home.
They want to come to Kaplan.
Oh, they love it. They love it.
Well, now, I introduced you as the mayor, so we know at some point in the story you decided to get into local government, and from talking to you, it sounds like it was fairly recently. So let's talk about that. So you got involved. You know, people got you involved in the community, as small towns are good about doing. So you got involved in organizations and probably socially. So what is it you ran? Now, I think you told me, make sure I got this right, you didn't run for council. You were never on council.
No.
So you ran for mayor in what year?
2018.
Okay. So you just got elected in 2018.
Just completed my first year.
Okay. So what is it that motivated you to run for mayor in a town that, while you called it home, you know that you were not officially a local, yet you decided to run for the mayor's job?
You're right. I really don't know if I was ever really motivated to run for mayor. I was motivated to find someone to run for mayor. And I enlisted everyone that I could. I talked with even previous mayors. I went and visited. You know, you did a good job while you were here. Mm-hmm. Why don't you run again? We need some leadership in town. Unfortunately, the answer was always no, or why don't you do it? And I said, well, and I would tell people, I would be honest, because like we said, this is a small town.
Right.
I said, look, this is a small town. My name is Clazel. I'm not right. Guidry, Landry, Boudreaux, Thibodeau. My last name is Clazel.
Yeah.
I said, that doesn't fly in California. I said, I don't think I have a chance. And more people say, you do it, you do it.
Your story sounds all too familiar because Seal is not a well-known name in Irwin County in Ocilla, Georgia. So I had the same thing when folks said, hey, you should run for mayor. I said, guys, this is an agricultural community, and I don't have five or six generations of Seals that have farmed the land. So this is the same kind of thing. So you got to have that. So family names mean something, and knowing you didn't have one.
It does.
But somehow, in both of our cases, it sounds like some people got behind you.
They did.
And really wanted to make a change with you involved.
We had a meeting one night and with some men, and there were some women there as well. And they said, look, we want you to really consider it.
Yeah.
So I did, and said the first person I've got to convince is my wife.
That's right.
She gives me the okay, we'll do it. So I went home that night and chickened out. I didn't mention it.
You didn't even bring it up.
Didn't even bring it up. No, I didn't.
Now, were you afraid she was going to be opposed to it, or were you afraid she was going to be supportive when you chickened out?
I really didn't know. I really didn't know. She's a very tender-hearted person, so I know enough about politics that, you know, it can get rough and it can get
brutal. And that affects more than you. That's right.
And it affects more than you. So that was a big thing for me. So the next day I did bring it up, and I told her, and she thought about it for a day or two. And she came back and she said, I will be 100% behind you if you can promise me that you will never tell somebody that you're going to do something for them that you don't know if you can do it or you can't do it.
Right.
In other words, you can't ever lie to someone, mm-hmm. you know, and be deceitful.
Yeah.
I said, you got that.
That sounds fair.
You got that. I said, that sounds fair. So she says, if you can do that, then I'm behind you. So this was about a year out. I probably ran the longest campaign in the world.
You announced early, huh?
And I knew, but I knew I had to, Matt, because there again, Clazel.
Yeah.
You've got to get that name
in
Cajun country out there to where people get used to it.
Well, let me ask you this.
People knew me as Mike, and people knew me as Mr. Mike.
But they got to see the whole name because that's the one that's going to be on the ballot. Right. But let me ask you this to make sure I've got the timeline right. What year did you, I guess, make it official that you moved to Kaplan? I know there was kind of a transition.
That I moved to Kaplan was 2002.
Okay, so you'd still been in town for 16 years.
Oh, yes.
Really, 15 when you decided to run.
Really, I was in town every weekend and even
went back farther than that, all the way back to
98,
and you made connections and networked and been a part on at least on the periphery with the business community. Sure.
Right.
Okay. But still, 15 years of you know, established living here as a resident.
Yes. Right.
But I still understand if your name's not familiar, there are some obstacles to overcome for doing that. So that doesn't surprise me too much at all. You had to kind of start. I didn't start a year in advance, but
and look, on my campaign signs, purposely. My campaign signs had Mike in huge letters and Clazel
in little letters.
Very small letters.
Yeah, yeah.
It was done purposely that way because that's how people knew me as Mike. They really didn't. I would be willing to bet that probably 90% of Kaplan didn't know my last name. They didn't.
But they needed to make sure they checked the right box on the ballot.
Right.
Well, let me ask this. You have referenced you were trying to campaign or lobby other people to run for that office. You obviously felt strongly that some kind of change or some kind of initiative or something. So what was it that motivated you to first try to find someone else, and then when no one would do it, what motivated you so much that you said, all right, fine, I'll be the one, I'll put myself out there because this needs to get done, or that needs to get done, or we need to move in this direction? What were some of those issues or things that were important to you?
It was one main issue. Kaplan is in charge of their own utilities. We head up our own utility company, electrical, gas, water, everything. People have complained for years and years about the electrical rates that we have in Kaplan. We were in the middle of what I consider to be a horrendous electrical contract. We buy our utilities and resell them. That's how Kaplan is able to stay afloat. That's how Kaplan makes its money. Our rates are some of the highest in the state right now. My goal was to reduce that. We have started the process of doing that. Right now, our rates, like I said, they're high, and most people understand that and know that in town. We are going to get those rates down. We have sent out RFPs recently. We are looking at various ways to do that. They will come down. The cost right now of producing electricity is lower than it's been in generations. Yet our cost of purchasing electricity, because of the contract we're in, and it was a long-range contract that we signed. So because of that, we are paying higher than normal rates. I hope to have Kaplan, within a couple of years, one of the lowest utility rates in the states for the consumer, all the way down to the consumer end, not just what the city's buying, but passing those savings on to our residents. And I feel like that's one of the only ways that we can grow our town, by making it competitive and enticing for people to live in. Kaplan is a great community. We have great schools there. We have a hospital in Kaplan that is second to none. I mean, recently renovated. You don't have to go to Lafayette to get an MRI now or a CAT scan. You can do it right here in Kaplan. We have a private school that's second to none, a great Catholic school. We have a lot going for us here. One of the things that does keep people out and chases people out of town is the utility rates that we have. So we will get a handle on that, and that's the biggest obstacle that I feel like we have to overcome.
When you answered my question by saying there was one issue that you wanted to tackle, I thought, well, I can't wait to hear what this one issue, because usually it's abroad.
Right.
But that if you're doing all of your utilities, that one issue is tied to obviously your residents and your businesses and that economic development. And if it's a barrier to new investment, it's got a ripple effect everywhere.
Right. So we have issues with blighted property, like every community our size does. We've had businesses that had boarded up and left. We had a gas station. We had a large gas station on the corner of 14. You may have noticed a lot that's knocked down now. After 8 years of different administrations trying to get the oil company to tear that lot down and pull those tanks up, we got that done this year. Mm-hmm. That was a campaign issue that I ran on, was to get that old Junior Food Mart torn down and get that land ready for something else, another business to come in.
Right.
So we're getting there. It's a slow process. That's one of the things I've found in municipal government that is much different than business. Things move much slower.
The processes and the committees and the approvals that you have to get.
It is. And the attorney has to verify everything.
Yep.
You have the audits, the auditing process. You have to, everything has to pass an audit at the end of the year.
Right.
You know that. So
better make sure everything down to the penny is everything's accounted
right.
for.
Yeah. Yeah. So everything moves a lot slower, but it's moving.
Well, good. I want to talk some more specifically about Kaplan and about maybe what we can see in the future, but I'd like to ask you a few questions. I feel like I've gotten to know you and your story, and being the outsider become mayor, familiar to me. But I got some get-to-know-you questions I always ask all my guests. So I want to ask you these to help the audience get to know you, and maybe someone who already knows Mr. Mike or Mike Claisel is. Hopefully they know you now. Right. They'll get to know you a little better. So first question, do you now have or have you ever had a nickname?
Yeah, I had a nickname.
When there's laughter before the answer, I'm usually thinking there's a good story there.
When I was young,
okay,
and it was Bully.
Bully?
Bully.
Were you
and
mean?
It wasn't because I was mean. It was because I was fat little kid.
Oh, so the bullies called you Bully.
Well, really, no. It started when I was a baby.
Bully.
Because of my temper. Yeah, I had a temper when I was a little kid, and I would pitch a temper and turn red. And
you were big even as a baby with a bad temper.
Yeah, right.
And so Bully.
So Bully.
Was there somebody particular in your family that started that?
I don't know who started that, but I was called that probably. I can remember being 7, 8 years old. And
it went for a little while.
Saying, would y'all start calling me Mike?
You asked them that?
Oh, I did.
Okay.
Yeah,
hey, guys, I don't like this nickname.
Yeah,
let's cut it out.
I didn't really like that.
And they knew how bad your temper was, so they complied.
They did. So that did go away.
Bully. Okay.
I do still have a couple of cousins that will.
Every once in a while call you that? Hopefully affectionately.
Bully. Yeah. Affectionately.
All right. Next question. What is your go-to karaoke song? So if you had to sing a karaoke song to defend the honor of Kaplan, Louisiana, what would your go-to karaoke song be?
Oh, my. I can't carry a tune. I can.
That's okay. That is not the point of karaoke. That's a beautiful thing.
Oh, my goodness. Can you repeat that?
What would be your go-to karaoke song? And it sounds like, you know, just like at the Hojo, if you need a couple Bud Lights to muster up.
I'm
going
to have to go with Sammy Kershaw, Queen of My Double Wide, I guess.
Okay, there we go. I understand Sammy Kershaw's from here.
Oh, he is. We also had his street renamed where he grew up.
Oh, cool.
To Sammy Kershaw Drive this year.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to more of that because I bet there's some other stories about Sammy Kershaw and Kaplan. Next question on the Get to Know You questions. What is your favorite meal or favorite dish?
I love Mexican food.
Okay.
But probably
Tex-Mex, since you're from Texas.
Now my favorite is probably anything with crawfish. I love crawfish.
That's interesting. Come from Texas.
Right.
And then now you like crawfish because you're in Louisiana.
Yeah, yeah. And
anything
I've always
with
liked
crawfish.
Shrimp. I've always liked shrimp. But crawfish has taken over shrimp in my respect.
Interesting,
now, yeah.
The evolution of the tastes and preferences here.
But
not in a particular dish, just anything you can put crawfish in.
Really, I like it fried, I like it boiled, I like it in etouffee. Yeah.
That's just a fun word to say, I couldn't help it.
In pasta, cream sauce, it doesn't matter.
Anything with crawfish. All right. I can respect that. And final question, if you could attend any concert of any singer, band, performer of any kind, whether they are dead or alive, what concert would you want to attend?
George Jones.
George Jones. Yeah. All right. So on our last episode, we got a chance to talk with Karen White, who serves as executive counsel at the Louisiana Municipal Association. She talked with us on the last episode about the different structures Louisiana uses regarding the size and government structures of its municipalities. This time, I asked her about her role in helping advocate on behalf of cities and towns and villages in Louisiana at the state level. Hey, Karen.
Hey, how are you?
Now, in our discussions, that you seem to wear many hats at LMA, and one of those is, I guess I'll call it legislative advocacy. So you deal with the legislation and act on behalf of cities throughout, not just the small towns, but all the cities, towns, and villages, as I've learned, in Louisiana. So what are some of the, I know what they are in Georgia, because I'm on the Legislative Policy Council with GMA, and I imagine some of them might be the same, but what are some of the biggest things you feel like you have to advocate on behalf of cities for when it comes to state legislator and legislative action?
I think Louisiana is witnessing the same trend that many states are seeing, and that is a trend toward preemption of local authority. And it really, preemption legislation runs the gamut from plastic straws and plastic bags all the way to firearm-free zones and larger economic issues. And so,
and for the audience, just define what preemption is, because I'm getting used to it. But before I was involved with kind of legislative policy, I might not have been able to describe it like I can today.
Absolutely. So preemption is the larger governing authority in here. Of course, it would be the state of Louisiana. in effect, through legislation, telling local governments, you cannot regulate this thing, or you can only regulate this thing the way that we tell you you can.
Right.
So it sets limits on the authority of local government. And look, there are certain types of preemption that we from a local government perspective understand are important. Things like emerging technologies. We actually worked with the transportation network companies to develop legislation that we were okay with,
right,
that allowed there to be uniformity throughout the state. But generally speaking, it's our philosophy at the LMA, and I think on most local governments, that locals know best, that we're the closest to the people, we have boots on the ground, and we are in the best position to make the decisions that are right for our community.
Local control, home rule.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
Small Town Podcast is supported by the Southern Mercantile. Visit southernmercantile.com for a blog about small town living and an online store with a selection of carefully curated goods. The Southern Mercantile. Simple living, Southern charm.
All right, well, now that we've gotten your story and gotten to know you, let's talk a little bit more about Kaplan specifically. First of all, what's the population of Kaplan?
We're at about 4,600 people now.
Okay. You are a town by definition.
By definition, we are a town.
And what would you say, just to kind of talk about it in general, what is it that makes Kaplan unique? Obviously, you didn't grow up here. You never heard of the place until the Hojo.
That's correct.
So what makes it home to you? What is it that makes it unique?
I think it's the people. The people of Kaplan make it unique. We have an excellent fire department here. We have an excellent police department. So everybody working in unison, City Hall, the fire department, the police department, all of the organizations, the schools, really it's all of those things that make Kaplan unique. You just don't find that anywhere else. I came from small town South Texas.
Yeah. What was the population of Victoria?
It's quite a bit bigger than Kaplan. It at about 45,000 people,
okay,
probably.
That's,
so it's
that's
bigger.
Not a small town. That's
no,
huge.
that's a big town. But
maybe by Texas standards, that's small.
Well, by Texas standards, it is a small town. And I also did live in one other small town in Texas. But my wife and I had been fortunate enough to travel, and we've traveled all over. We've gone almost every state, and throughout our travels, we haven't found a place that can compare to what we have right here at home. The roughest part of coming home is hitting Highway 35 or Highway 13, but because of all the potholes, but that's the hardest part of coming home. This is our home, and I just can't think of a better place to be.
So I was going to ask you distinctive things about Kaplan as well. And you already mentioned the birthplace of Sammy Kershaw. So talk about that, and maybe some cool things have happened. Has he come and done some appearances? Or, I mean, obviously, do his parents still live here?
His mother is in a nursing home.
Okay.
Yeah, so Sammy does come through here and actually was here not long ago. That's his guitar. He gave to us.
That looks like his signature on that guitar.
It is
his signature. Got it. Now, was that signed and given to the city or given to Mayor Mike?
That's mine.
I thought since it was in your office, it might be the case, but I thought I'd ask.
One of the most pleasant times that I've had since being mayor was when Sammy came up. He came up for a visit and ended up sitting and talking for about 2 hours.
Yeah.
He told me about his childhood in Kaplan, what Kaplan meant to him, how doesn't matter where he's at in the world, Kaplan is his home.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where he lives now, Kaplan is his home. He explained his love affair with Kaplan to me and shared his childhood with me. And those are the moments that make everything worth it, because he truly loves this town. as much as I do, as much as anyone can.
You've already mentioned, if I got it right, Boogie on the Boulevard.
That's right.
Which you said was a 5K, and then it became a little more because of music and dancing, and it's kind of a big festival. But you can either, I'd love to hear more about that, or I bet that's not the only thing that happens, because you pretty much said music and dancing happens a lot in Kaplan. So
it does. It does. We have an annual food fest, too, and it has a lineup of 8 or 10 musicians throughout the day. It starts early in the morning and goes late at night. There's always a big headliner. It's a yearly deal. The Police Association of Kaplan puts that on. It's just a big festival.
Yeah.
It's a big street dance. It starts on 2nd Street and goes as far as people can.
as far as they'll cram in, huh?
It's right there on Main Street.
Now, what time of year is that one?
That is the first weekend in November.
Okay.
So,
and you said the Boogie on the Boulevard was in April?
First Saturday in October.
October. Okay. October. So we got fall things here. October. Right. Okay. And then November.
That's correct.
All right, man. Okay. So Kaplan's the place to be in the fall.
It is, most definitely. Most definitely. And it is.
Well, let me shift and just kind of ask you, because in many conversations we talk about some of the challenges that affect small towns. Now, you've already mentioned utilities contract, and that
right.
is kind of an impediment to economic development. But what are some of the challenges? And you can even go back in history, whether it's before you were here as a resident or something you've kind of seen the community come together and either overcome, or maybe there are some challenges you are in the process of overcoming and trying to deal with now. And I bet whatever you say is not going to be something that just Kaplan is dealing with. It's going to be small towns or rural parts of Louisiana and other states are dealing with. So what is it that Kaplan is dealing with and maybe having success with?
Wow. One of the things we did this year was we smoke tested all of our sewer lines.
Mm-hmm.
We identified every problem area that we had. Throughout our town, we had almost 2,000
cracks somewhere.
Cracks somewhere in our line. So
we've done a couple episodes of Small Town Podcast on infrastructure, and I&I is that thing where you got stormwater that gets in your sewer, and it ends up making your lift stations and your pumps and your sewer system work overtime, essentially.
Yes, it did.
And it's this incredible thing that I would have never thought about until I became the mayor. So did you know about before?
No idea.
You learned about utilities and public safety.
I found out that we're supposed to be processing about 500 to 750,000 gallons of wastewater through our sewer treatment facility on a daily basis.
Okay.
And on a heavy rain day,
we're
processing close to 4 million.
Jeez.
So we have a lot of infrastructure problem there. So we've identified that, and we have applied for grants. And fortunately, we are in line to get right at $1 million for handling that.
Yeah.
So some of that will be matching money, which makes it hard on a municipality, but it's something that we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
We have an aging infrastructure like so many municipalities, but you have to start somewhere to get it fixed.
Right.
So that's what we're working on. That is just another problem.
And the fact that you've done the smoke testing and have identified the problem, and you were able to give numbers to kind of display the scope of it.
Right.
Now, I know that means there's still a long way to go to making the improvements necessary, but that's a huge step in just kind of seeing what it is, what's in front of you.
And one of the good things is we have an excellent engineering firm, too, that works with the city and fortunately doesn't charge us an arm and a leg.
That's helpful.
that is helpful, especially with an engineering firm. So they are already working on how to attack that problem and where to start, what we're going to do. They're getting together a game plan and a plan of action. So that's important.
It doesn't surprise me at all that when I ask about challenges, infrastructure is the most common one. And that's not even just a small town thing. It's just that where the populations are so low that you still have to put the system in place and abide by the same EPA and EPD regulations, regardless of the fact that you only serve, you know, 4,600 as opposed to 46,000 or 460,000 like some of the larger cities do. Yeah,
that was probably one of the most eye-opening things that I did see when I became mayor was when I went to the sewer plant and saw what it really takes to keep everything going.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Amazing. It's people see the potholes and that ends up getting complained about you know, trash, yard debris, you know, those kinds of things. That's the very visible things. But what's underground?
yard debris, however, is probably my personal pet peeve.
You
that's
sure.
the thing. I would love to eliminate that.
Now, does the city handle yard debris pickup, or is that contracted out?
It's parish. The parish.
The parish does.
So,
okay.
So
you kind of have
at their mercy
limited control over that. Yeah.
Very limited control over it. But we do try to work with residents to keep it to a minimum and put it out only a certain time.
Right.
So it is a trash is a pet peeve of mine. I want to clean town.
So in this conversation, we've talked about you and how you've come in, and you had a very specific, I guess, initiative specific to the utility rates and how the utilities work with the city since you're providing so many. So Scylla just provides water, wastewater, some natural gas.
Right.
When you add on electricity, that's a much bigger deal. So you're tackling that. You've identified a problem with infrastructure, but I want to kind of ask, because I get a feeling you came in to do a lot because you've made this place your home. So what are some of the other things going on in Kaplan or things that you'd like to see under your leadership? Or maybe it's so big you pass it on when you finally do convince someone else to run for mayor.
That's a good question. One of the things, we were recently designated as a retirement community.
Okay.
We had a councilwoman that worked very hard on that. We are a designated retirement community for the state of Louisiana now. One of the things that I would like to see happen, I have a dream. this is just a dream. Rice has always been a huge part of this area in South Louisiana. We grow a lot of rice. We have rice greens. Kaplan had two big rice dryers at one time. Neither one of them are operational anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There are pieces of each one of them still standing. They are beginning to crumble. Their infrastructure is falling apart more every day. I have a dream of seeing something done with one of those or a portion of one of those. And I've always thought it would be cool. And I haven't said this to too many people. So
well, here you go. You're about to announce it. Yeah.
This podcast is it, my big announcement. But I have a dream that one of those could be turned into something like a microbrewery with showcasing local music talent on Friday and Saturday nights, a little dance restaurant, maybe a gift shop, and maybe a little place to park five or six RVs overnight. So that would be a long-range dream.
Sure.
I don't think, in order to keep Kaplan on the map, and look, that's the challenge that so many small communities have now, is just keeping themselves on the map. And in order to do that, we have to think outside the box now. It's very hard to attract a new industry. It's very hard to attract a big business to a small community because those guys are looking for key-ready opportunities. They want a piece of land that's already ready to move in now. And we don't have the funds to develop that, so we've got to think outside the box to keep our town alive. And I think that would be one of the ways to do it. People do like to dance here. People like to eat here.
Yeah.
And certainly people like to drink here. So I think
all of those ideas would work.
I think a brewery would be perfect for this area. So that's a long-range dream of mine.
Well, anything you can do, obviously that would attract, I'd say tourism, but people from neighboring communities, neighboring parishes. But you, what you're suggesting is it does it in such a way that there's a little bit of, I'll call it historic preservation, because you're talking about repurposing something, not tearing it down.
Right.
But also using that rice dryer, it sounds like if that was part of your agricultural heritage,
right,
then that becomes kind of a symbol of things. You're taking something that was very much a big part of your economy and keeping the structure and the nostalgia of that while diversifying into what would work now. So,
and one of the people that I did actually throw that idea to was Sammy Kershaw when we had that talk here.
Okay.
And he said, you know what would be cool? This was him. He says,
this is Sammy talking.
Sammy talking. He says, you know what would be cool? Since it's a rice dryer, come up with a rice beer, like a sake.
Okay.
Type beer.
That would fit.
I said that would fit perfectly.
If you had him headlining on once a month or so.
I'm sure that would help.
That would draw also. So yeah, you ought to hit him up for some investment.
Yeah. What? No, he's
you do to him what those guys did to you. Just $5,000, we'll start a candle company, a rice beer sake company.
Just keep on with it. Two and a half years.
You'll eventually wear them down.
That's right.
But the Bud Lights might help like it did That's with right. you.
That's right.
Well, Mayor, as we kind of close out this episode, I want to give you the same opportunity I give to all my guests. Let you speak directly to our audience and tell them why they should come visit, even before there's a microbrewery and a rice dryer, or maybe even come move to Kaplan, Louisiana.
Well, we always have something going on in Kaplan. There's always something. We have a great museum. The last Saturday of every month in the morning from 9 to 11, that we actually have music at the museum. So we have a wonderful museum. We have a beautiful Main Street. We have some nice businesses on Main Street. We have a couple of excellent restaurants in Kaplan. I promise if you ever get this way, stop by City Hall and talk to me. And I will make sure that your time here is enjoyable.
Mayor, before I close this out, I want to give you another opportunity, because you could have said the name of your candle company that whole time, and I would have left it in, but you didn't. So tell everyone the name of your candle supply company now.
It's Cajun Candle Factory.
Cajun Candle Factory.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Mayor Mike Gleisel, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, small towners, that'll do it for this episode of Small Town Podcast. I want to thank Mayor Mike Gleisel for talking with me. I also want to again thank John Gallagher, Karen White, and the Louisiana Municipal Association for sponsoring this series on small towns in Louisiana. As always, we thank our season sponsors, the Georgia Municipal Association, Consolidated Pipe, Koch Industries, and the Southern Mercantile for supporting us as we explore and share great small towns. I hope you all join me for the next episode in another small town in the state of Louisiana. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime.
Small Town Podcast is an Urbanomics production that tells the stories of America's great small towns. We release new episodes every other week, featuring small towns through stories of the people who live and lead there, and sometimes exploring issues that affect small towns everywhere. Our podcast episodes are made possible with editing assistance from Resonant Recordings, who also mixes and masters all of our episodes. You can subscribe to Small Town Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and the next episode will download while you sleep. You can also leave us a rating and review, which would help us reach new listeners. We would really appreciate it. Beyond our episodes, you can hang out with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also learn more about us and the towns we visit by stopping by our website, www.smalltownpodcast.com. We love to show you all the small towners out there, some great images from the small towns we visit, and let you know about the festivals and events you can participate in and the places you hear about on our podcast. Thanks for listening, and we hope to see you real soon.
We stand adjourned.